I want to tell you, bring in our next guest and talk about sanctions, which have been swift over the weekend, coming from Western allies. But so far, Russian energy is off the table. And here to help us discuss that, let's bring in Lincoln Mitchell, research scholar from Columbia University. Lincoln, thank you so much for that. So energy off the table now. But do you think that could change? And if it changes, is that the crippling hit that Russia needs to be dealt to be able to stop them, halt further aggression?
It certainly could change. And if the war continues like this, it very well may change. It would be very bad for Russia, but perhaps more significantly, it would push them closer to China. Russia has to sell its fuel somewhere. They have no other way to generate wealth in that country. China needs a lot of this fuel, whatever form it is, and will buy it for dimes on the dollar because Russia has nowhere else to go. And that will essentially put Russia, I mean, if you're sitting in the Kremlin, in danger of being essentially a Chinese client, which I don't think is where they thought this conflict was going. But if the West can stand by these sanctions and toughen them, Russia will have nowhere else to go.
Do you think that, you know, sort of trying to mitigate against any sort of energy sanctions and what that could do to the world market and the oil market in particular, do you think that this talk of releasing strategic reserves in some coordinated effort is useful and will help mitigate the impact? And then what do you make of BP pulling out of its big oil deal with a big oil company in Russia and now Shell doing the same thing?
Well, the actions by BP and Shell are very serious. And if you're Russia, they've got to really strike you, because throughout all of the conflict that Russia has had with the West, going back to the Georgia-Russia war, or the Russia-Georgia war, more accurately, in 2008, through to the incursion into Crimea and the Donbass region in 2014, through today, the major oil companies have kept doing business with Russia because there's so much money to be made there. This is a real break. Now, as far as I can see, at some point, the United States and other countries are going to have to find ways. The United States doesn't get a lot of oil directly from Russia, but a lot of countries in Europe do. So releasing strategic reserves does make some sense. I mean, it's a kind of trick you only can pull once because you eventually run out of strategic reserves. But now is kind of the time. This war that Russia is making on Ukraine has the potential to be a globally destabilizing event, and with ripple effects that we can't quite foresee now. And preventing that from happening should be a pretty high priority.
And then, you know, a stunning move. Switzerland says it's freezing Russian assets. This is a country with a long history of neutrality. What do you make of that?
I thought that was extraordinary. I mean, I just saw that headline before I came on, or got ready to come on here. I think that's extraordinary. What it shows here is just how strong the coalition against Putin is, just how close it is. And a lot of credit for that, I mean, behind the scenes, goes to the United States. I think Joe Biden, this is when Joe Biden ran for president, this is what he said he could do, and nobody really believed him. And certainly after Afghanistan, where he really didn't handle it well. But these coalitions don't come together easily. They don't come together magically, and they don't come together without the leadership of the United States.
And, you know, certainly Switzerland is a country where the Russian assets are held. There are a great deal of them, $11 billion in Swiss banks in 2020. So that is a big move. I'm wondering, do you think Putin severely underestimated what he could achieve here?
Putin made a couple of underestimations here. One is, despite what so many commentators and analysts in the West were saying, he thought either that the Ukrainians would be kind of happy to see them and, you know, not put up much of a fight, or that the Ukrainian military resistance would be very weak. And he's gotten a much stronger resistance from Ukraine than he thought he would have. Now, of course, sitting where we are, the human suffering, most of it is in Ukraine. I mean, these are, you know, civilians who have lost their homes, who have been killed, who've had family members killed. But Russia is taking casualties earlier and in higher numbers than Putin anticipated. And that is a real miscalculation. I suspect he also figured the coalition between Europe and European countries and North American countries and others would not hold together. And it has. So he overplayed his hand here. He was always in a position where threatening war was going to help him and making war wasn't going to help him. And we're seeing that right now.
And we've seen thousands of Russians in Russia over the weekend protest. And I'm wondering, you know, has he sort of painted himself into a corner now? And is he going to see his demise soon enough? And is it at his own hands because of his actions?
Well, I can't come on television, the internet, and say that his regime is going to collapse in the next couple of days. That would be extraordinary. But he is not stronger for doing this. And back in the fall and early winter of last year, when he began to amass the troops on the border, there was a domestic political piece to this. Putin's thinking, I suspect, when something like this, as we know, the economy is very bad. Russia's COVID situation was much worse than the media was reporting in Russia and therefore in the West. thousands and thousands of people were dying, probably, you know, hundreds of thousands. So he needed to do something. And he thought a move like this might generate some excitement, might bring the country together. Well, it's had the opposite effect. So you've seen these demonstrations and the arrests from the demonstrations, which means that he's concerned. And soon we may see some of the very wealthy people around him who are really dependent on his good wishes, good graces, getting angry at him because they can't access their wealth in the West. So Putin, to a great extent, this war was always about regime survival for Putin. He looked at Ukraine and he said, I don't want that happening in the U.S. And excuse me, in Russia in 2014, when a corrupt president, Viktor Yanukovych, was ousted by massive street demonstrations. He sees that could happen in Russia. He thought he had to topple this government to give himself a little bit of a buffer, and it may have had the opposite effect. But it's too early to really know anything for sure about that.
Lincoln, really quickly, want to get your reaction in, you know, just 30 seconds left. Headline crossing from the Times of London reporting that the Kremlin has sent 400 Russian-paid mercenaries to Kyiv to try and assassinate Zelensky. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I hope they fail. Let's be clear about that. But secondly, what you're seeing here is that Putin painting himself into a corner. He's got himself in a situation now where he will remain isolated for the rest of his life, and he will spend his life doing one of two things. One, doing everything he can to cling to power, or two, ending up in a cold jail cell in The Hague.
All right. Thank you for your perspective, Lincoln Mitchell, research scholar, Columbia University.